You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network. This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. Today, we are speaking with Alexander Albanese, an inventor, entrepreneur, and coffee connoisseur who has created a sleek and modern twist to the classic coffee press and a new way to brew. Certainly looking forward to hearing this and all about that. Alexander, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
So I understand you have recently launched a sleek new coffee press that was born in Chicago and raised in Detroit. Can you tell me more about It's American Press?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, where the born in Chicago part came from is this was originally part of my graduate thesis at Northwestern University. So I was a graduate design student there and had opportunity to do a year-long thesis and thought to myself, what better thing to do as a design student than try to take something from idea to commercialization and make that my thesis. That didn't quite get to the commercialization part in the year of that thesis study, as you can tell, because it's about 4 or 5 years ago. But that was the origin to the born in Chicago part. Now, after I finished my graduate thesis, this project still wasn't done. There was a lot of interest in it, had opportunities to show it to major retailers, even had some companies license it for a period of time. But it became clear to me over the years, I really wanted to make it happen. I was going to have to do it myself. And it took long enough that I found myself going all the way out to Detroit for work. I wound up working in automotive out there as an innovation specialist and someone working on cutting-edge technologies with this being my side project. And it's now finally come full circle where all those years later, I'm back in Chicago now for the moment, actually getting to that commercialization part of the whole project that I'd intended to do as part of my thesis originally.
Taking a closer look at coffee presses, they have been around for a long time. Did you invent yours to fill a specific need in the market?
Well, absolutely. Like getting all the way back into this graduate program 5 years ago, a big part of what we were taught was a discipline called ethnography, which is sort of anthropology meets design. And the anthropology part is all about observing people. And what I observed with a French press anyway, which is a very old invention. It's, you know, been around for a very long time. It's actually originally an Italian invention. It's not originally even a French invention. And folks have used it for many years because it's, I think what people liked about it, what I observed was it's small, it's simple, it's portable. You know, you probably don't want to grab your drip brew machine and yank it off the countertop and take it with you to work, but you can do that with a French press. The problem, what I observed is even at school, you know, visiting professors in their offices who, like many of us, are avid coffee drinkers and seeing French presses sitting there with the ground still mashed in the bottom. And sometimes I feel like I'd come back to visit the same person 2-3 days later and that same French press was sitting there with the same ground sitting in the bottom. And it occurred to me that, well, I didn't really think at the end of the day it was that incredibly laborious to clean out a French press. It was obvious it was just something people didn't like doing. They didn't care for it. It was a pain point in the process. So I saw this kind of like love-hate relationship with the French press where people loved using it right up to the point they had to clean it. And then they started hating it. I thought if I could just take out that pain point at the end, I'd have something that people would truly love from beginning to end. And that's what I set out to do originally, was solve the issue of cleanup with a French press. My first thought was, you know, if you just kept the mess contained, it would be easier to clean. So what if we use a pod, put the coffee grounds in that pod, and then push that pod through a craft of hot water? You would, when you're done, you would have your grounds be contained. You just easily pull it out, detach the pod, much like you see your barista doing with an espresso machine, shake the pods out, rinse it off, you're ready to go again. What I didn't expect, and this came through the prototyping process and the multiple iterations of prototyping, is that as soon as I did that, I actually created something that was a different way of brewing coffee. It really wasn't a French press at all anymore. It turned into something completely different, and that's where the name It's American Press came from originally, is that a lot of people looked at me like, oh, it's a French press. And it's like, no, it's not a French press. It's American Press.
I love it. This is fabulous. What are the unique features of It's American Press, and is there a secret to brewing a delicious cup of coffee?
The unique features, this gets back to the prototyping again. The very first prototype I made with it was just kind of ugly and simple. I didn't actually know what I was doing. I almost got like a thumb ripped off on a lathe at the university machine shop trying to make the first prototype. The whole purpose was just to prove that it worked. That succeeded, went on to a second prototype, and the whole idea of the second prototype was to make it look pretty. Part of that was polishing the walls. The first prototype, you couldn't actually see through the walls. And when I realized, again, getting back to some of these like serendipitous developments, is that because, again, I created this pod and there's seals around the pod. It's almost kind of like a piston and a cylinder, very, very similar to an engine piston and cylinder. When you are pressing down, the water in the craft has no place to go but through this pod. And then it comes out of the top of the pod as coffee. And because there's a seal around the bottom of the pod, it looks like the coffee is right on top of the water, but they never mix. They're not actually touching, although it looks like they're touching. And this creates a little bit of visual magic where as you press, shortly after you start pressing, the pod fully submerges in coffee. So you see this column of coffee that looks like it's just floating on top, somewhat magically on top of a column of water. And as you press slowly, the column of water, you see it disappearing in this column of coffee growing. And when you're done and that column of clear water has disappeared and you just have a craft full of coffee, you're done and you're ready to pour. So to me, one of the most unique parts about it is that visual experience and the hands-on experience. So again, with a French press, you're mixing coffee and water directly together, and then you're pressing simply to strain the grounds out. You're pushing the grounds to the bottom so you don't have grounds in your coffee. With the American press, you're brewing as you press. So that's a unique part of it to me, is that the visual experience and the hands-on engaging experience of actually brewing as you press. Now, what also happens here is because of the filtration that we use, which is a 150 micron steel mesh filtration, and because there's a tight seal, much like you'd have an engine seal and a piston, you can use finer grinds. So with a French press, you use very coarse grinds. And by being able to use finer grinds and because of the pressure that's created, this is actually a positive pressure brewing system. It's not nearly as high pressure as espresso, but it's much higher pressure than, a French press where there's no pressure involved at all. Those combine to let you brew the coffee faster. So it depends on your taste. But you can typically, what I found is that the average user brewing to their taste, it takes about half the time as a French press. And it's also been extensively taste tested. So everybody from your just average casual drinker to really avid hardcore coffee geeks who've universally preferred the taste over French press, which I think my explanation for it is that you don't get the muddiness that you get with a French press because the grounds aren't mixing the way that they do with the French press. You always get some of the coffee grounds kind of escaping around the metal mesh filters in the French press. And finally, where it loops back to where it started, another unique point is that with the French press, you don't have any really great way of getting grounds out of the bottom. Like they actually sell kit for French press, which include like a spatula to help you like scoop the grounds out of the bottom, essentially. With the American press, you pull the plunger back out, you detach it just like you, again, went to your barista detaching the pod from an espresso machine, shake them out, rinse it off, and you're ready to go. So you have that combination of it being hands-on and engaging, really a truly unique experience, and also your coffee being ready faster, tasting better, and being easier to clean.
Today we're joined by Alexander Albanese, an inventor, entrepreneur, and coffee connoisseur who has created a sleek and modern twist to the classic coffee press and a new way to brew here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Alexander, many companies are using crowdfunding to increase product supplies. Why did you decide to use this as an option for its American press?
Well, I felt like the money that I need to pay for tooling and a first production run was well within reach of what I could raise on a crowdfunding platform. This is a genuine grassroots story, right? It started out as a kid in a machine shop at school trying to create something for a thesis project. I had opportunities to license it or to take money and found some of the contract terms not to be favorable and just really preferred that idea of this more democratic approach, like rather than taking a lot of money from one person, maybe having kind of onerous terms, being able to go literally to a crowd and in a very democratic way, if they like it enough, vote with their dollars and make it happen. And then they get to be the first to experience it. So I felt like crowdfunding was really the way to go. If I was developing some kind of app and needed millions and millions of dollars, yeah, I'd go looking to venture capital for funding. But this is something where I felt crowdfunding was the perfect fit because we're not talking about billions of dollars. It's more money than the average person has lying around, obviously. You're talking maybe $50,000, $100,000 to do all of the R&D and everything, and some of that was actually supported by angel investors, leaving me this gap that I needed to cover. And if you're talking a gap, that's maybe $30,000, that's something that with a compelling crowdfunding campaign, you can cover that gap and not have to give up equity or anything like that.
Lastly, can you tell me about your Indigo campaign you recently launched and how coffee connoisseurs can get involved there?
Okay, the campaign was launched just about 3 weeks ago. We met our goal in the first 6 days and are currently over 200% funded on there. So the campaign's gone amazingly well. It's still going it's going to be going until probably December 15th right now, but it may go longer than that depending on demand. If people really go nuts for it in the final week, it may be extended. The way they can get involved is the easiest way to remember this goes back to the naming originally of people thinking maybe this is just a French press and saying, no, it's not French press, it's American press. So all of our naming is around It's American Press. Our website is itsamericanpress.com. All the social media is the usernames are It's American Press. So on Facebook, the page is It's American Press. At any of those places, you can go there and find your way to the Indiegogo campaign. Almost all the posts on our Facebook page have links to the Indiegogo campaign. My website has links to the Indiegogo campaign. If someone's not an Indiegogo member already, it's really quick and easy to sign up. And just as easy as signing up with any website where you're going to make a purchase. And you can go there and simply pick the perk that you want. You can pick a perk that's as little as a dollar, or you can pick a perk that's a bit more and actually be one of the first people to get the American Press when they start shipping early next year.
Well, it certainly has been good to have had you. If you don't mind, in conclusion, what advice would you give to anyone looking to create their own business or something that they could do immediately to help them grow their business from your experience?
Well, the big part of my experience has been realizing the importance of marketing. So what I would recommend to anybody who's looking to grow their business or start their business, especially if you're looking to start your business, start early on the marketing side. So start early, build a Facebook page. It doesn't cost anything to do that. Start trying to build email lists. You can start out with simple websites, simple Facebook pages. You don't have to pay people a ton of money to do it. You know, the website that I have now definitely is professionally done, but I started out with a simple Squarespace website that took a weekend to build. And you can plug in email list gathering tools for that. And just start early. Start trying to build a following, build an audience, build interest in it. Really try to build a brand, and if you do that 6 months to a year, say ahead of time, when you want to launch a crowdfunding campaign, you're going to be much more likely to succeed, because the reality of it is most crowdfunding campaigns don't succeed. But if you start early, really try to, again, like dig into social media and dig into building email lists and things like that, you have a much, much better chance of succeeding. And the same really can apply to existing businesses. If you're not fully leveraging social media, if you're not fully leveraging your website, and again, this isn't something that has to cost a lot of money, although you can put a lot of money into it. It's an opportunity to grow your business more than wherever you're at already.
Really some good advice, and it certainly has been good to have had you. Thanks for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you and the company all the best.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Alexander Albanese, an inventor, entrepreneur, and coffee connoisseur who has created a sleek and modern twist to the classic coffee press and a new way to brew. And once again, for more information, simply visit itsamericanpress.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.